He probably recorded that. Anyway, let's take a moment and pray as we launch into this evening's time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this place. I thank you for what it has meant to me. I thank you for what this place has meant to each one of us. We all have different stories of how we came to be here and the role that this particular assembly has played in our lives. Thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege of being together tonight and thinking about you and how you want to have a relationship with us. And we just pray that by your Spirit you'll be very active among us, that we will have open hearts and open spiritual ears to hear from you and then be responsive. So we give you this time as an offering. Use it, Father, for our blessing and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if any of you have been involved in a mentoring relationship, either on the giving side or the receiving side. One of my mentors was a man who had been a theology professor and a pastor, and I would go and for a period of time, I would spend an hour or two with him every week. And one of his questions, you know, mentors are supposed to do this. You know, when you sign up, not that we signed anything, but, you know, when you join up with a mentor, the idea is they're going to ask you tough questions that you feel awkward about. That's part of the deal. And so one time I went to see him, and he said, "So, Ron, tell me, are you satisfied with your prayer life?" So I want you just to pretend for a moment that I'm just sitting across the table from you in a private place, and you will actually be expected to answer, okay? You're all safe because, you know, there's safety in numbers, and you know that nothing bad can happen here. But seriously, are you satisfied with your prayer life? And I reacted just like you're reacting right now, sort of like, I guess not, because I really wasn't. And he said, you know, over the years, he'd asked dozens of people, maybe hundreds of people, I don't know, that question, are you satisfied with your prayer life? And he said, nobody, not one person ever said yes. Because somehow, no matter how much time we devote to prayer, we have a sneaking suspicion deep down inside that somehow it's inadequate, it's not enough, it's not what it should be, it could be more, it could be better. And so I'm going to suggest to you that when we come to the place where we recognize that our prayer life is not satisfying, it's not meaningful, it's not a joyful thing, it's become a bit of a chore, that maybe that's the time for a spiritual reboot, to get things sort of back to the way it was at the beginning, when prayers were kind of spontaneous and not too cluttered, and focused fairly narrowly, because again, our lives hadn't become so complex at that time when we first believed. So that's what I want to spend our time on this evening, is thinking about how we can enrich our prayer life. Now, you'll be glad to know that I am not planning to make you feel bad about your prayer life as it is. Whatever it's like, and however you feel about it, this isn't about trying to make you feel guilty and horrible. This is about saying, hey guys, here are a few things that I've learned or am learning, and maybe they'll be beneficial to you as you move along in your prayer life. So that's where we're headed tonight. This is rebooting your spiritual life, particularly related to prayer. Now, we find that there are two general categories of prayer, and most of us participate in both. We find evidence in Scripture of both, and I'll mention some of those things in a moment. But basically, there's the disciplined approach to prayer, and for some people, you know, they have a time, might be early in the morning, might be late at night, but that's their prayer time, and they are amazingly faithful. I remember being somewhat shocked when we were in Ecuador. I went to visit another missionary in a distant town. And I had left very, very early in the morning and arrived at his place shortly after 8. And I knocked at the door, and his daughter came to the door, and I said, "Oh, I'm here to see your dad." And she said, "Oh, you'll have to wait. He's having his prayer time." And my jaw hit the floor, quite frankly. I'd never heard of such a thing. Imagine somebody comes to visit and you're saying, "No, my prayer time's more important than talking to you." And then, of course, it sunk in, like, "Oh, well, that's probably really a good thing." But it was the first time I'd ever been exposed to someone who had that kind of deeply disciplined approach to prayer. And nobody was to interrupt that. Nothing. Not even moi. So that's one approach to prayer. The other approach is the spontaneous kind of prayer, where we'll just natter on to God all day long, kind of thing. You know, whenever something crops up, whenever something comes to mind, it's not formal. It might or might not be even verbalized, but there's a prayerful response to a situation, and both have their place. And there are advantages and disadvantages to both, especially if we exercise them, you know, exclusively. And we're going to think about that. Let me give you some scriptural examples of here are a couple of situations where people had a disciplined approach to prayer. We remember Daniel, for example. In Daniel 6:10, we read, "When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously." You know the story. I'm not going to give you the background. But the fact is, here was a man who had a disciplined approach to prayer. His habit was to pray 3 times a day, and even when a law was passed saying he wasn't supposed to do that, he did it anyway because that was his thing. He didn't care who said no. He prayed 3 times a day with his window open so anybody going by could hear. That was his approach. Then in the New Testament, you remember in Acts chapter 3, we read about Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the prayer time. They went to the temple to pray at that time. A disciplined approach to prayer. That said, there are lots of examples of people praying spontaneously in Scripture. For example, we usually in response to a crisis situation, okay, or something specific that cropped up. So Jesus prayed in the garden. The disciples prayed in the upper room at Pentecost. Stephen prayed in his martyrdom. Peter prayed at Tabitha's bedside and raised her from the dead. Paul prayed as he wrote letters. That's something that I've learned to do over my time at FBH, because I sign a lot of letters to people, usually thank you letters, and I try to often, not all the time, but as I see that name and I know that letter is going to be going to that person and they will hold it in their hands, I try to have a prayerful attitude about each name as I sign that letter. Oh, this one's going to so-and-so, and this one, oh, yeah. And I'll often picture that person who's receiving. Not, you know, I'm not getting into the visualization thing, so don't freak out on me, okay? But you know, just, yes, I see that face. I see their expression as they read this, and I sign the letter. So, you know, we could do things like that. The church prayed for Peter when he was in prison. The elders prayed for Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Silas prayed in prison at midnight in their situation. And I've got lots of other examples, but you don't need more examples because you get the idea. So there are formal, disciplined approaches to prayer, and there are more relaxed, casual, spontaneous approaches to prayer, and both are fine. However, somehow, often, our prayer life seems like it can get stale, whatever form you use, and we'll all favor one or the other. We'll all tend to favor one or the other, I think. Are you with me? Yeah? So just for fun, this isn't anything other than I'm just curious. How many of you have a more formal, disciplined approach to prayer? You know, does anybody want to volunteer for that? Yeah, several of you? Yeah, good for you. That's terrific. How many of you find yourselves being more spontaneous prayers? Yeah, okay, so the spontaneous people have it. If it were, well, it's kind of what I expected. But that, it was just interesting to get that confirmation. I don't know if you've noticed, but regardless of which form of, or which direction your prayer life tends to take, you can fall into ruts, and there are a half a dozen expressions that we tend to use over and over and over. Have you noticed this? We pray for God to lead, guide, direct, be with, bless, and protect. And you think about your prayer. You'll have other verbs in there too that you'll use. Sure you will. But those are the ones, those are the old faithfuls, you know. When somebody says, pray for me, we fall back to one of these. Lead, guide, direct, be with, bless, and protect. It'll be one of those. Now, interestingly enough, and I don't want to get into this in a big way, I'll just casually mention it. God has promised us to do those things, actually. So us asking him to do, well, he's already said he would bless us and be with us and guide us and be our protection and things like that. So there's a sense in which he's already said he would do this. So you can wrestle in your own mind. Do we need to be asking God to do what he's already said he would do? Something that I have found useful in this, instead of asking God to do these things that he's already told us he would do, is turn that petition into a thanksgiving. So Lord, you know about little Desmond. You hold his little heart in your hands. And we thank you that you are so present in that moment, even though this little infant has no conscious knowledge of you. Thank you that you are there for his parents and his grandparents. So instead of it being a petition, God, please do this and this and this and this, because this is, you know, it kind of comes across as what your will is. You're going to tell God what he should be doing. We thank him for what we know that he is doing. I'll tell you, that's one of the things. There's a little hint for you. No extra charge for this. It's one of those things that I've found enriches my prayer life because it makes me more thankful. So I'm not always asking God to do stuff. I can be thankful that he's promised to do that, that he's promised to be with my friend who's struggling. I don't know, some of you may have noticed that I rudely checked my cell phone just as Don Steele was starting to pray this morning, confession. It was unusual, actually, for me to get a message in the middle of a service. So I checked it, and it was my wife telling me that one of the ladies at the assembly in Hamilton had suffered a heart attack. She's got a lot of health complications. They can't do any surgical intervention. She's already on oxygen for other ailments, shall we say. They can't do surgery, and so basically they've just got to try to do what they can with drugs. And she's in a bad place. Humanly speaking, she's in a bad place. But rather than try to tell God what he should do for Sharon and for her husband Brian and their son Stephen and how God should make all this work, I just be thankful that he is present there in that situation. He knows what needs to happen, and he'll do it without me telling him how to do it. And that gives me great peace. We can relax. We can let go of things and say, wow, God, humanly speaking, this is a bad deal. Thank you that you're in it. no matter how bad it is. So that's the background. And if you think to pray for Sharon Kane, you could do that. She's in a bad place right now. So think about that as you pray. And as you make petition, and there's nothing wrong with making petition. We're told to make petition, okay? I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. But think, is there an aspect that could be turned into thanksgiving in this? Just a hint, just a tip, suggestion. One of the things that I have enjoyed about working with HopeStream Radio, and I hope you listen occasionally, take advantage of it while it's there, is I did a series of programs, actually it's running right now, I've finished recording them, with Susan Rumford. Some of you may know who Susan is. And we talked about prayer. We did a whole series of things on prayer. And she brought to my attention a word that I'd not associated with prayer before. And she said, one of the things that we need to do is we need to enrich our prayer vocabulary. We can become very impoverished. We say the same words, say the same things. I remember in one situation, I was visiting an assembly. This was many, many years ago now. Not that that changes anything. But I was at the breaking of bread, and I heard this older gentleman pray. And it just rocked me. It was a beautiful prayer. It was like amazing. And that was fine. A few weeks later, I was back to the same place. And he got up and he prayed, and I thought, boy, that sounds a lot like how he prayed before. That was a lovely prayer. The next time I heard him pray, I went, that is exactly the same thing. And sure enough, thereafter, he had his words. They were beautiful words, but he had a limited vocabulary of prayer. Now, I'm not judging that, because where was his heart? That's what matters. And it's not the words we speak. But the words we speak do make a difference. And they can be helpful to ourselves as we seek to express our deepest desires and thoughts to God. So how do we enrich our prayer vocabulary? Now, I suspect that most of us here, and you know the environment I grew up in, but most of us here grew up in environments where written prayers were somehow second class. We didn't have a deep appreciation for a liturgical approach where everybody had the prayers written in front of them, and the minister would pray the prayer, and then there would be a response from the congregation. That wasn't what we were used to. It seemed strange. Didn't seem very spiritual. Like, why can't these people just talk to God? Why did they need to read it in a book? You know, things like that. That's kind of the... I'm sure you never thought things like that, but I thought things like that. But you know what? As I've thought about this over the years, and this has been a long process, I've come to value written prayers. Prayers that have existed within the church for generations. And some of them are very old and they sound very dated, but they often open up little windows to us, or at least this is my experience. So I want to give you a couple of examples here. Here's a prayer from the Common Book of Prayer. Almighty God, and this is written in Elizabethan English. So those of you who are King James people, this will be really comfortable. Those of you who like the message, it'll sound a little old. Almighty God, who hast promised to hear the petitions of those who ask in thy Son's name, we beseech thee mercifully to incline thine ear to us who have now made our prayers and supplications unto thee. This is at the end of the service. So like a lot of prayer material has gone before this, and this is kind of the closing paragraph. So he's referring back to the prayers and supplications that have been made. And grant that those things which we have asked faithfully according to thy will may be obtained effectually to the relief of our necessity and to the setting forth of thy glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, on one hand, you say, well, that sounds kind of highfalutin. But at the same time, there was one sentence, one phrase in there that really jumped out at me, because we often, in our spontaneous prayers, wouldn't necessarily think to include it. And that is, okay, he asked that these prayers that have been made would be answered to the relief of our necessity, well, we all get that, and to the setting forth of thy glory. Could you imagine if in every prayer, every day you prayed, or every time you came to church, we specifically prayed that God's glory would be set forth in our midst? And we really pray that with our heart. And you see, I've learned that it's not the words, it's what's in your heart. So whether you're speaking spontaneously off the cuff, or whether you're using a written down prayer or some variation, it's how your heart is directing itself toward God that matters. So your heart can be totally directed toward God as you're using the vocabulary, the words of somebody else. Here's another one that I enjoyed. We humbly beseech thee, O Father, mercifully to look upon our infirmities, and for the glory of your name, there's that theme coming up again, turn from us all those evils that we have most justly deserved, and grant that in our troubles we may put our whole trust and confidence in thy mercy, and evermore serve thee in holiness and pureness of living, to thy honor and glory. Through our only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Both of these little snippets are very God-focused. Yes, there is a petition for us, but they're God-focused. And I think sometimes in our spontaneous prayers, not so much. Particularly, and here's, it's confession time. Oh, confession is part of prayer. We talked about that last week. But, you know, I fall into the spontaneous prayer category to a large degree. And sometimes I have caught myself and I've thought, you're not praying, you're whining. And I go, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. This is all about me and what's comfortable for me and what I want and what I think is right and my little griefs and my little sorrows. No, you're great, God. And I totally forget that my life should be God-focused instead of God being me-focused. So there's another little tip. If you write things down, write that one down. There are a couple of examples from the Book of Common Prayer that I just find helpful. There are all kinds of these kinds of resources online. And you just have to look for them. Who'd have thought that all of these old prayers are available online? Now, some old material is quite, I find it inaccessible. Like, I don't know what they're on about. And like, I'll read a whole George Herbert prayer. And I have friends like Arthur Dixon and Gordon Rumford, who just think George Herbert's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And quite frankly, it's opaque to me. I mean, I'll read a George Herbert poem and go, huh? I have no idea what the man's talking about. But occasionally, you know, you pull things together. Here's a very short snippet of a very long George Herbert prayer. He lived from 1893 to 1633, by the way. He says, thou who hast given so much to me, give me one more thing, a grateful heart. Not thankful when it pleaseth me, as if thy blessings had spare days. Think about that. I mean, that it takes a moment for that to register. So I don't want to be grateful or thankful just when it suits me. as if thy blessings had spare days. But, this is what he asked for, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise. Now that's a terrific thought. Imagine going to God in prayer and saying, Father, let every beat of my heart be praise to you. You are the author of my life. You sustain every moment. And I want every beat to count for your glory. I'm not going to ask you yet. You see, this I find this touches me in a way that me rambling on about, you know, please be with so-and-so and God bless all the missionaries and, you know, be with so-and-so in the hospital and bless brother so-and-so who's got this, you know, he's out of work and so. I find that often doesn't move me spiritually. No wonder I'm bored stiff with prayer and I've struggled with it over the years and I'm not satisfied with my prayer life. But, you know, you take a snippet like that and just let it run. Let your mind run with it. And suddenly, something's happening inside. And remember, I mean, this morning we talked about the importance of intimacy with God. God wants us just to be with him. And in these moments of deep reflection on the nature and glory of God, well, that's being with him. Here's another one. This guy's got a fabulous name. He's an old guy, too, from 1555 to 1626. His name is Lancelot Andrews. I love that. I wish my parents had called me Lancelot. I'm sure my personality would have developed in an entirely other way if all of you people said Lancelot when you spoke to me. I just would feel different about myself, I'm sure. Anyway, I'm Ron. Sorry. Listen to this prayer. This is amazing. Listen to all of the things he brings to mind. Now, I'm sure, you know, this was a written piece of prayer poetry. He didn't just spontaneously get up at breaking of bread and spout this. This didn't all just pop into his head at once. But we've got the advantage of reading it now, and we can enter in at any point. And what I find with some of these written poem prayers or prose prayers, it doesn't really matter, that will suddenly become, there'll be something in there that will be a focus for that day. Something that goes, yes, this is where I am now. For example, I don't know if we probably won't get time. We don't have time. We won't have time to pray this, talk about praying the scriptures. But you know the psalm, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. Now, you may be in a place where you need to pray that to God and say, oh God, this is exactly where I'm at today. I just long for you. I'm so grateful for your presence here. And, oh, I just enrich my intimacy with you. That's maybe where your personal prayer is added to the psalm. Or you may be in the place where you go, God, I haven't got a clue what David's on about here. This just seems totally foreign. Yeah, I am so distant from you, I don't even care. And can you help with that? And don't kid me, I know you've been there. All right, back to Lancelot Andrews. But listen to all of the things that he includes and see if there will be something that resonates with you. I'm sure of this. Lord, my Lord, for my being, life, reason, for nurture, protection, guidance, for education, civil rights, religion, for thy gifts of grace, of nature, of fortune, for my redemption, regeneration, instruction, for my call, recall, yea, manifold recalls again and again. Isn't God patient? I mean, he just keeps calling us to himself, call, manifold recalls again and again. For thy forbearance, long-suffering to meward, many times, many years, up to this day, for all good things received, successes granted me, good things done, for the use of things present, for thy promise and my hope of the enjoyment of good things to come, for my parents, honest and good, teachers, gentle, benefactors, never to be forgotten, religious intimates, congenial, hearers, thoughtful, friends, true, domestics, or servants, faithful, for all who have advantaged me by writings, sermons, conversation, prayers, examples, rebukes, injuries, for all these, and all things which I know not, open, hidden, remembered, forgotten, done when I wished, and when I wished not. I confess to thee and will confess. I bless thee and will bless. Did you find anything in that list that, did you ever just thank God for your education? For the fact that you can read and write? There are millions of people who can't read and write. I was listening to a program on the radio the other day about adult illiteracy in the world. Did you just ever thank God that you can actually pick something up and read it, and that it can touch your heart? That you hear a sermon, that you have a chat with a friend, just a conversation with a spiritually minded friend, and your heart is strangely warmed, and you go, oh, I wish I could have conversations like that with my friends, with my other friends. Wow. We only have time for one more. There's just so much good stuff. And notice how, as I'm going through these things, like my mind is going, poof, 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 poof. I'm jumping from one thing to another. One thought leads to another thought. And so often when we just pray our usual spontaneous little prayers, and there's nothing wrong with our spontaneous little prayers, but you know, we stay so safely inside the box of our own brains. And these things stimulate our minds to respond to God in a whole new, fresh way. Listen to this. This is actually written by a man who's still alive, Frank Topping. He's a British, get this, entertainer and Methodist minister. He's an actor, and he's also a Methodist minister. But listen to this prayer. If you think that being a Methodist minister and an actor would be fluffy, get this. Lord, help me to face the truth about myself. Have you ever prayed that? What would make you think to pray that? See, you've never thought about it until right now. Lord, help me to face the truth about myself. Help me to hear my words as others hear them, to see my face as others see me. Let me be honest enough to recognize my impatience and conceit. Help me to recognize my anger and selfishness. Give me sufficient humility to accept my own weaknesses for what they are. Give me the grace, at least in your presence, to say, I was wrong. Forgive me. Do these words stir something inside you? Do you sense, as we've been reading these prayers and hopefully praying these prayers in our hearts, that strangely, God seems nearer? That's been my experience. I'm going to ask us to do something unusual. It's been mentioned a couple of times today, and several of you have commented about how you've used the Lord's Prayer in your life in the last week, and that's very cool. We're going to use the Lord's Prayer right now, all of us together. And there are several translations, particularly forgive us our debts or sins or trespasses. We'll go with sins tonight. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, okay? So this will be our closing prayer. Let's stand up and pray this together with our hearts, not just saying the words like you did in grade six, okay? We're going to pray these words and we're going to mean what we say when we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Deliver us from evil. Somebody help me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.